For Sunday, February 10th, 2019, welcome to our Redeemer's Lutheran Church in Helena, Montana. We are a member church of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. Today we're going to hear a sermon by Pastor Kendra Wild, as well as the gospel reading, which is Luke chapter 5, 1 through 11. Let's begin with the Lord's Prayer, and then we will get into the fishermen leaving everything behind to follow Jesus. Join with me now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the fifth chapter. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but we have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down on his knees and he said, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and they followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So, what is the most bold and courageous thing you've ever done? Was it perhaps moving to a new town where you didn't know anyone? Or perhaps changing careers midlife? Perhaps it was having children. Perhaps it was getting out of an abusive relationship. Perhaps it was enlisting. I bet if we took a moment to listen, every person in this room right now has a story of when they were bold and when they were courageous. Now, why do we do these things? Maybe we do them because we're in love. Or maybe, perhaps, we do them because that's simply the next step to take. We're forced into it. And other times, I think we don't really realize that what we're doing is really an act of courage until we look back on it and say, "Whoa, I decided it was a good idea to have children." And today, too, we hear stories from Scripture of how God is using ordinary, normal people to do amazing, courageous, bold things. We hear the story of the call of Isaiah in the temple and how the Lord says, "Whom shall I send to my people?" And Isaiah says, "Here I am, Lord, send me." Even though he was unsure, even though he says, "I am a man of unclean lips," the Lord used him. And we hear today also the story of Simon Peter, an ordinary fisherman who witnesses God's power and miracles. He hears Jesus speak, and he is moved. And he falls on his knees before Jesus saying, "I doubted you. I'm a sinful man, but God used him anyway, too." And Jesus said to him, "Do not be afraid. I'm going to make you fish for people." Now that phrase, "do not be afraid," is one that God has to say to God's people all along the story. Again and again and again, we are people who are prone to fear. And I think sometimes that fear is, well, it's pretty well grounded, because God is often calling us to things that are really, really big. And God's dreams are so big, we wonder how we can contribute to them or to be part of them. Have you ever been called to something that feels just really big? Something that seems to exceed your ability, your time, your resources? Have you ever been called to something that feels like it's too much for one person to take on? Well, I think in both of those cases, that still is very much evidence of God's call. I think God often calls us to dreams that are just one size too big for us, and also calls us to work that we alone cannot complete, but that we need a community to do. So what is it that God is calling us to do? What is God calling our Redeemer's Lutheran Church to do and to be right now in this community, in this neighborhood? I'd like to spend a little bit of time with that question this morning with you. And one way that I actually find a lot of help with is I look at how God is working in other communities and calling other communities. And then that tunes my ear to hear how God may also be moving amongst and calling me and us as well. And I want to share a story with you, how God worked in this particular community. The story comes from Redeemer Lutheran Church in North Minneapolis in Minnesota. And if you would bring up my Prezi for me, please. So the first time the Reverend Kelly Chapman stepped into the pulpit at Redeemer Lutheran Church in North Minneapolis, he saw maybe 30, 35 people in the pews. And he got a little nervous. How was this community going to thrive and to grow? So he went to God. And God gave him an expanded vision. God helped him remember that he's not just called to Redeemer Lutheran Church. He's called to the whole community. And God expanded his vision. And he said, "This church is placed in this context, in this neighborhood, and in this community." And he then understood the congregation was the 4,000 people who lived in the neighborhood. That was 17 years ago that he first went to this congregation. And over those 17 years, this congregation really took off and built around the whole block that this church was on. They built up this beautiful ministry. And I want to give you a glimpse of all the ministry that they do. They created this nonprofit that's called the Redeemer Center for Life. And this is a view of their homepage. And just to give you an idea of the sort of ministries they do, they have launched a cafe, a bike repair and coffee shop, a 16-unit apartment building, another 7 apartments over the cafe, a home that houses Lutheran Volunteer Corps members, a storefront that has been converted into a place called the Living Room, a gathering space for everything from health clinics to civic meetings. The church has also built 2 single-family homes that were sold as part of an effort to support affordable housing. Now, as for that sanctuary itself, it is more filled and more vibrant than it was 17 years ago, and they've now tripled their numbers of attendance and worship. And yet, the church is still the neighborhood. The church is the community. The congregation is, in that Catholic sense, the parish, the whole neighborhood of people. Now, we are not Redeemer Lutheran Church in North Minneapolis. We are not called to be Redeemer Lutheran Church. We are called to be our Redeemer's Lutheran Church in Helena, Montana. This is who we are called to be. And what is God's dream for us? What is God's vision for us? I think that's something for us to take seriously and to discern together. I do think we can take some insights from what Redeemer Lutheran did in order to become the vital beacon of hope that they are in their neighborhood. They looked outward. Do we really believe that our congregation is just as much outside these walls as it is inside? They shared leadership. Pastor Chapman is the first to say that he is just one piece of the puzzle. It's not a pastor-driven thing, it's a people-driven thing. They had lots and lots of partners. They weren't afraid of saying, how can we work with you? What can we do with you to make this thing possible? So other churches, other agencies and groups and nonprofits all came together to make this thing happen. 4, the congregation reflected the diversity of the community. What would that mean for us? What would it look like for us to reflect the diversity of our community? And what might it take for us to get there so that all people truly feel welcome and safe here? And 5, they utilize the unique gifts of their members to create these cool, creative, entrepreneurial efforts. How might we create small businesses that utilize the gifts and abilities, but also help provide income and jobs? Well, how might we do that? Now, it's important for us to remember that when God calls us, He calls us. When God called Simon Peter as a fisherman, He called him to fish for people. Not to sew for people or to bake for people or to knit for people. He called Simon Peter to fish, a fisherman to fish. And this happens again and again throughout Scripture. We hear the story of how Paul, a tent maker, was called to start house churches. So here's Paul, this tent maker, creating these spaces of worship and these communities for God's people, creating, in a sense, a tent for God's people all around the region. God did the same with Lydia, who's this merchant and businesswoman. And she was one of the first who welcomed Christian believers, the first Christian believers, into her home. And she was one of the early funders of Christian missionaries. Queen Esther understood that God had called her as a queen and put her in this position of power and influence so that she could save her people. When God calls us, he calls us with our unique gifts and abilities, our unique assets, and perhaps also our unique needs. How might that draw us into the community? How might those become a way, a roadmap of sorts, to finding out what it is that God is calling us to do and to be in this neighborhood and in Helena? It's scary, I know. But being part of God's dreams, which were always bigger than you or I can imagine or live into, is a scary thing. And God calls us to not live with that fear, but to trust that our nets will be filled to overflowing, and that we are being called and equipped and graced in order that we might share the good news of God's love through Jesus Christ, that we might be a source of healing and reconciliation, that we might be a conduit of God's grace and love for a world that desperately needs to hear it. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the weekly Our Redeemer's Lutheran podcast. We publish weekly Wednesday mornings, and it contains the previous Sunday's gospel reading and pastor's sermon. For more information about our church, please visit www.ourredeemerlives.org. Weekly services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Sunday mornings. Thank you for listening, and have a Christ-filled day.